Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 16. And everyone is okay with English? Do we need a translator? Okay. Okay, let's read John chapter 16. Look at verse 9. Through verse 14, if you could read, Pastor, for me, please. John chapter 16, verse 9 through 14.
Jean chapter 16, verset 9 au verset 16. 14. En ce qui concerne le péché, parce qu'il ne croit pas en moi, la justice, parce que je vais au Père et que vous ne me verrez plus. Le jugement, parce que le prince de ce monde est jugé. J'ai encore beaucoup de choses à vous dire, mais vous ne pouvez pas les porter maintenant. Quand le Consolateur sera venu, l'Esprit de vérité, il vous conduira dans toute la vérité, car il ne parlera pas de lui-même, mais il dira tout ce qu'il aura entendu, et il vous annoncera les choses à venir. Il me glorifiera parce qu'il prendra de ce qui est à moi et vous l'annoncera. Amen.
Heavenly Father, once again we come to you. We believe your word. Let's say that first. We believe the word of God. The verse we read talks about the Holy Spirit and what He can do for us. And I'm asking that you open our eyes to the Word of God and help us to yield to the Spirit of God. And as we just read, the Spirit of God always shows us Jesus. So Lord, help us to follow Jesus in this way. Amen. I have a radio program every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, on WSHO. That's AM 800 every Sunday morning. And I am going to try to put this service on the radio. And I think there's two other services that I put from here and also in Montagnac where we preached in Creole. I have a website. It's joeykelly.net. You will see my face, and you click the first link. It says ministry, and you click radio, and you will find all the different messages. And like I said, there are three or four that are in Creole, which you may be interested in listening to. But on my radio program, I've been speaking about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John, Jesus takes his last few minutes before he is taken and crucified. He takes these three chapters to preach about, to teach about the Holy Spirit. He had been with his disciples 3.5 years, and obviously he taught them many things. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to pray for the sick. He taught them about giving. He taught them about suffering. He taught them everything. But he says here in verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." And I said this on my radio show, if Jesus was with his disciples 3.5 years, you would think maybe he said enough. But he says, no, I've got more to say. But he said he would be crucified, be in the grave 3 days, rise from the dead. We probably preached on that this morning. He would go to heaven, But on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And we are, as we are Christians, we're born again. The Spirit comes to live in our hearts. He says, I've been preaching to you 3.5 years, but you still haven't had enough teaching. I've got more things to say. And when the Spirit comes, in verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We know that Jesus is the truth, but it says the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, he's the Spirit of truth. But he does one thing. It says, he shall glorify me. Right here in verse 14. The Spirit of God will always show you Jesus. Amen. We have a bunch of people on the television. They will say, God spoke to me, the Spirit spoke to me, and they have all these false doctrines. They say all kind of things that it's wrong. A lot of what they say is wrong. But the Spirit of God will always show you Jesus. Amen. They will say, I have a new revelation. God is doing a new thing. I've got this new thing nobody ever heard of before. And God spoke to me. Look at me, I'm important. God spoke, no, God didn't speak to them. There's no new revelation. And when the Spirit speaks, he will show you Jesus Christ. Amen. You can read in the Gospels, you can see what Jesus did. He healed the sick, he prayed, he fasted, he did these things. You can read the book of Psalms and you see what Jesus thought and you see what he felt. We see Jesus doing a number of things in the Gospels, but if you read what David wrote, you see how he felt and what he thought. And you see his walk with God. You see his humility. You see his prayer. You see how we should act. In our heart, in our mind. You understand? The Spirit will speak to us. And he will always show us Jesus Christ. Now, some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And I understand that. Many denominations, they will say, well, we don't speak in tongues. We don't want any prophecy. You want to do that? Go to the other church. Maybe they have a reason to be afraid. Maybe not. But again, the Spirit always does one thing, and that is to show you Jesus Christ. You cannot win lost souls unless you have the Spirit. It says, we just read right here in verse 8, when he is come, he will reprove the world or tell the world where it's wrong. Of sin, certainly Jesus says you need to repent of your sin. The Spirit's job is to say, repent of your sin. And of righteousness. We know that Jesus is righteous. We know that we should live holy and righteous. And it's Jesus' job by the Spirit to help us to live righteousness, righteously. And of judgment. We know that the end of the world has come. We know that the Antichrist will soon come. We know that Jesus is coming back. And it's the Spirit's job to get us ready for heaven. Now, all of these things, we should repent of sin, we should live a holy life, and we should know that judgment is coming. We see that Jesus taught all of these subjects in the Gospels. He taught the first thing he said, you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh, etc. The Holy Spirit shows you Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will not show you some other weird doctrine. You need to go to the book, to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. They speak not according to this, there's no light in them. If they have some other doctrine, it wasn't the Spirit of God that gave it to them. Maybe they have pride and they come up with some doctrine to make themselves look good. Maybe some devil is whispering to them, saying, preach this other thing. But we should be careful and watch and pray that we would stay true to the Word of God. And God will keep us if we do that. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, And I don't have to read much. I just want to touch on one brief thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm sorry, chapter 12, we read about the spiritual gifts. Many people are afraid of spiritual gifts. Well, I'm a Pentecostal, let me say that. I believe in speaking in tongues. But the most important thing is not tongues. The most important thing is to follow Jesus. Amen. If you listen to my program, you will hear me say you must understand what suffering is. You must understand what humility is. You must know how to repent. You must know how to be kind to those. You must learn how to win the lost. You must pray, etc. In other words, I teach what Jesus taught. And let me say, the Spirit of God told me to preach this way. But it's exactly what the Bible says. But he gives the gifts of the Spirit. A gift is if I read, if I, my wallet is actually empty. If I had anything in it, it is empty. But I could take $1 or $5 and give it to this child and say, here, this is yours. It would be a gift. You can contrast this with the fruits of the Spirit. I believe it's in Ephesians. Love, joy, peace, etc., long-suffering. A fruit is something that you have to cultivate. You can take your seed or something and put it in the ground, and you walk away and it'll never come up. But you have to water it. You have to make sure the weeds or the rabbit or lapin doesn't eat it or something. You have to cultivate it. You can cultivate love in your heart. You can cultivate patience in your heart. And if I have these fruits of the Spirit, am I not doing what Jesus said? Amen. You can look at the book of Titus. Titus talks and takes a long time to say that we should live like Christ. We should be humble. We should live a good life and not be rowdy or something. We should live according to like Jesus said. He says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, faith, the gift of healing. And it eventually it says tongues. Again, the most important thing is not tongues. It's not a prophet. Look at me, I'm a prophet. Thus saith the Lord. No, it's not about that. It's about, will I follow Jesus? And can I encourage you to follow Jesus as well? Amen. Sometimes the Lord will give me some word of wisdom. Wisdom, if you're a wise man, you know what to do. If you have trouble, you don't know what to do, you can pray to God, and God will show you sometimes what to do. That's a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge, that would be something that God gives you knowledge about something. You know something. Faith. Faith is certainly useful. We need to have faith in the Lord. One that very few people talk about, let's say, is discerning of spirits. La discernement, la esprit. The discerning of spirits. You can understand if something is of God or not. You can listen to some preacher on the radio and you can know in your heart, well, this is right, or no, this one's not right. If somebody tries to say something is wrong, you can know. You can know by the Spirit speaking in you, and you should compare to the Word of God. You should be a good Berean. Remember the Bereans? Paul went to the city of Berea. And they said, we believe, Paul, that's great. But look, let me see that Bible. Let me read it for myself. And they were more honorable than anybody else because they took the time to say, hey, give me that Bible. I want to read it for myself. You can trust this man. I know this man. He's going to preach the right gospel. He's going to lead you to heaven. But you should still take your own Bible. Amen. Well, he said this about the salvation. What does it say? Myself. You have a responsibility of reading the Bible for yourself. Amen. But the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. If he's preaching truth, you'll know it in your heart. You know it in your head. Well, I remember that verse he said that's correct, but you can know in your heart that the Spirit is saying, yes, that's right. Amen. You can also know if you listen to some false teacher on the radio, no, that's not right. You can discern which spirit by going to the Word and allowing the Lord to speak to you in your heart. One of the things that God did, this was probably maybe 15 years ago. I had been a Christian for 10 years. I had been preaching a little bit. I had a walk with God. I had a calling of God to be a preacher. I knew the Word of God. I tried to start a church at one point, and we didn't have any money, and it didn't do so well. That was in Atlanta. I had done some mission work. I was trying to be a faithful steward of the Word of God. And certainly I had good teachers. And certainly I had studied. You can look at my Bible. I've got notes and highlights all over it. Every page has got some writing. Obviously, I've done my homework. But something God did for me. This is what God did for me. Maybe He'll do something else for you. The Spirit will speak to me one way. Maybe He'll speak to him another. I don't know. But the end result is that we see Jesus. One of the things that God did for me, and I'm very thankful, and again, this was about 15 years ago, God gave me a supernatural understanding over the Word of God. Now, I knew the doctrines. I understood, you want to talk about Revelation, I could go to Revelation and show you what the third bowl meant and the second vial. I knew all of that stuff. But God gave me an understanding of the Word of God, that if I turn to a passage and I read it, it's like it just falls open. I understand. I see Christ in a greater way. The Word of God is open to me. Remember, it said, the Spirit will lead you into all truth. Amen. The Spirit shows you Jesus Christ. And we understand Jesus, we can find Him in the Word of God. He opened the Word of God to me. If you listen to my radio program, I will go maybe verse by verse by verse. In these three chapters, I've taken like 3 months to go through. Verse by verse by verse. If you listen to it, it's obvious that I have something to say. And I can tell you that the Lord helped me to understand the Word of God so that I could teach the Word of God. And that's what He called me to do. I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher. But God gave me understanding. God can give you understanding. And again, He will lead me one way, He will lead you another. But certainly He will open the Word of God to you. You'll be reading and it's like the word jump off the page or something. Or you'll be reading and you know your heart is strangely warmed. Like, was it John Wesley said? You can know that, man, God is speaking to me. God will give me understanding. He'll give you understanding. But going back to John chapter 16. There's something that I said last week on my program. And I said it briefly just a bit ago. That Jesus was with His disciples 3.5 years, teaching them every day. Not only teaching them, He was with them. If they had to go to the market to purchase bananas or something, or whatever they decided to eat that day, they saw how He talked to the people. They saw how He greeted people on the sidewalk. They saw how He was kind to people. They saw these things. They heard His teaching. They saw how He acted. They spent 3.5 years every day with the man. But Jesus had yet more to say. He said, let me find it. Above that, in verse 7, He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Again, this is a strange thing. He was with His disciples every day in the flesh for 3.5 years. And that must have been a wonderful thing. But the inner work of the Spirit is more valuable to the Christian than actually being with Him in the flesh. Now, this is God come in the flesh. How can you get more of Jesus than having Him right there? You can read that John, he was always hugging the Lord and wanted to be right close to Him. Certainly Mary Magdalene washed His feet, what have you. And Mary and Martha, one of them wanted to hang on every word and get everything that He had to say. That was a wonderful thing. But He's saying that it's a greater thing to have the Lord in your heart because the Spirit gives illumination. The explanation for this is that the disciples in the book of Matthew or something They were with the Lord, but they were not born again. They were saved. If one had died, they would have gone to heaven. But they were under the Old Testament. They were under the Old Covenant. They looked, like Abraham, they looked forward to the Messiah. Abraham knew that the Messiah would give his life for our sins. Moses knew it. Abraham, it says in Hebrews, looked afar off and saw that day that Christ would come. You see, man has a sin problem. Man has a sin problem. We understand in the Garden of Eden that man fell into sin. And by faith, the Old Testament prophets, David, Ezekiel, all of these people, they looked and they knew that, well, one day our sins are going to be taken care of. Today we look back. We say 2,000 years ago, Jesus did die and was risen again. One is a promise in the future this will happen, but today we look back and say, well, it did happen. You understand? If someone writes you a check that's a promise that you're going to get your money, when you go to the bank and they hand you the $100 bill or something when you give the check, then you've got it in your hand. One is a promise, the other one is a fact. Our sins had to be taken care of. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the problem of sin, there was a legal work that had to be taken care of. But because Christ had gone to the cross, had paid the penalty for sin, then after he rose from the dead, and then on the day of Pentecost is when the Spirit came to the church. We can look in the Old Testament. We can look at perhaps one of the prophets. You can look at Elijah and Elisha. They had one portion and then a double portion of the Spirit. They had the power of God. They could heal the sick. They could raise the dead. They could do these miracles. And those things are important. But having the Lord in your heart, you can be filled with the Spirit. You can have the Lord bless you. Certainly this man has prayed sometimes, maybe on Montagnac or something. He's prayed and some little baby has been healed. Occasionally the Lord does things like that. Not all the time, but sometimes the Lord heals. And for some baby or something, maybe sick, and he's healed. That's a great miracle. Just like in the Old Testament, we can have that kind of power today. But the most important thing, because Jesus went to the cross and took care of the sin debt, the Spirit can come in our hearts and to dwell in our hearts. And the new birth is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Again, miracles, those are great. But the most important thing is the reality of the Spirit in our hearts. In our hearts. And I would encourage you to let the Lord touch your heart. I would encourage you, as you read the Word of God, let God speak to your heart. As you listen to the pastor, or maybe me, or on the radio or something, or maybe you read some book about some missionary or something, let the Lord touch your heart. Because as great as it was 2,000 years ago when Peter and John, they slept in the next bed from Jesus. I've been to Haiti. We sleep on a mat, all 10 people in a row. I never forget that. I was in the end, and they kept shoving me off. I was on the concrete. A wonderful thing when Christ was here, but a better thing. We've got a better covenant. A better covenant. Christ in our hearts. Thank you for listening to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.